Hey everybody, this is Chris, and I am Imperfectly Poly. Welcome back to the Imperfectly Poly podcast, where I talk about navigating life as a polyamorous person. This is not intended to be a guide to how to be polyamorous, or how to navigate life with mental health disorders or children, or any of the other things that I'm going to mention along the way. This is just my story, and all I can do is tell it, and hopefully you'll gain a tidbit or two, or maybe you'll laugh at me for my mistakes. But either way, I hope you enjoy. Take care. Hey everybody, this is Chris, and I'm Imperfectly Poly. Today, I want to talk about a topic that is kind of near and dear to my heart, and that would be compersion. First off, I bet several of you out there are going to be thinking, what the hell is compersion? I've never heard that term before. So you'd be surprised that it's something that you probably already have experienced at least once in your life. You know, how often you experience is, you know, depends on the person, but you know, compersion is basically the feeling of joy and happiness experienced when someone else is experiencing happiness or joy. It's a fairly simplistic concept, but for some reason, it's not one of the things that's talked about terribly often outside of the polyamorous community. I didn't even learn about the word compersion until I had been in kind of engrossed in the polyamorous community for a while. And the term, you know, was heard a few times, and I went and looked it up and was able to learn a little more about it. And I found out that, you know, for me, it's something that I have experienced before. You know, I experience it when one of my kids have won a softball game, and they, you know, we're really happy about it. Well, I'm happy for them. They're happy, so I'm happy for them, right? You've got your, you know, say a friend wins $20 in the lottery. Good for them. That, you know, I'm happy because they're happy. That's compersion, right? And Lord knows I experience it quite often whenever I see Danielle and Dawn together. And I just, you know, I know I've told Chloe more than once just how cute they are together. She probably gets tired of hearing me say it, but it's true. They are cute. They're like an old married couple. It's so cute. So that's compersion. That's fairly simple. Well, why the hell would I dedicate an entire episode to such a simplistic topic? Well, it has some pretty large, ramifications that kind of spread once you start thinking about it and how it applies in the polyamorous community. One of the big things is that it challenges the traditional narratives. If you think about a monogamous relationship in the traditional sense, there's a basis there in the scarcity of love and the possessiveness of each other, right? Compersion directly challenges that notion. Because we suggest that love can be expansive and even joyous and, you know, even infinite, and allowing our partners to find love elsewhere provides joy by proxy to us. And that's a direct contradiction to what the monogamous traditional, views are. And so, you know, for those of us who really desire kind of a more open and compassionate model of a relationship, we tend towards this polyamorous lifestyle, and hopefully we're able to find at least some compersion through that, which just amplifies our love. I've always thought that love is infinite. You know, a thing that I've said many times before is, you know, just because you have an additional child doesn't mean you love your first child less, right? If you have a third child, you don't love the first two less, right? Love is infinite, and that's shown through the love for children. Well, why can't that same infinite love be applied to your partners? Why can't infinite joy be applied in those same ways? It's a question that everybody has to ask themselves. So additionally, there's mental health benefits with compersion. Learning to feel compersion will help you decrease your feelings of jealousy and insecurity, and overall, it'll benefit your relationship as a whole. There's also a big boost to your self-esteem, which comes through it. You're able to realize your own worth because you have found that your partner's love for others doesn't diminish their love for you. And that realization is such a boost for your own self-esteem because you know that you hold this importance to someone else and that they will, you know, maintain that level of love for you despite having, you know, another person that they love. The final reason I want to talk about this is that normalizing compersion destigmatizes polyamorous relationships and will then encourage acceptance. That's reducing negative judgments, it's reducing societal pressures, and allows for more open communication where all of the feelings, jealousy, and other negative emotions that come with and are associated with non-monogamy can be expressed in a safe and supportive environment. Now, of course, I'm talking about jealousy and talking about compersion kind of at the same time. And that leads me into some of the myths that exist around compersion. And, you know, one of the first ones that I can think of is that if you have compersion, you'll never experience jealousy. Well, that's bullshit. You know, some people think that compersion is the opposite of jealousy, and it's definitely not. You know, in reality, compersion and jealousy absolutely coexist. Jealousy is a very natural emotion, and it even can be healthy in different situations for polyamorous relationships. Compersion just simply means acknowledging your partner's happiness and working through your own feelings constructively. You don't have to be overjoyed necessarily to feel compersion, but you can see that they're happy and say, hey, they're happy and that's a good thing, right? You know, for me, and I've heard other people say this before, it's like, how can your partner's happiness be bad for you? You know, my partner's happiness is not specifically bad for me. Now, they can do something really shitty that makes them happy, that makes me feel bad, right? That's, and then we have to deal with those feelings and, you know, what boundaries did they cross or yada, 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 right? There's a whole conversation that comes by that. But them, the happiness itself is not a problem for me. It's not a bad thing for me. And for me specifically, it is actually a good thing. I like to see that. Now, I've alluded to another myth already in the intro, but some people think that compersion is a polyamorous thing, right? It's only polyamorous related. You have to be non-monogamous or poly or something like that to experience compersion. That's bullshit. You can absolutely have compersion and have it for your friends or your kids or family members other than your partner. Compersion has the potential to create much stronger, more empathetic relationships, whether you're poly or not. You know, just being able to lean in and say that you're happy because they're happy and you feel good because they feel good. That is a wonderful thing and can help you connect to people in a different, more deep way than without. Now, some people think if you don't feel compersion that you can't be poly, right? That is just untrue. You know, you don't have to feel compersion to be polyamorous. Some people just aren't wired that way. Some people believe a related myth, that is that you always have to feel compersion. That, it, you know, in order to be poly, you have to feel compersion that every time that your partner is out on a date, you must be happy about it. No, that's obviously these things are wrong. And some of them, I don't even know where they come from. But, you know, in reality, you know, compersion is a skill that develops with practice and self-awareness. It takes work to work on yourself to be able to get to the level of compersion. It's okay if you don't feel it all the time. You know, many fulfilling polyamorous relationships occur, you know, for years and years without consistent experience of compersion. So don't think for a moment that you have to experience compersion to be polyamorous. It's just untrue. So another myth that I've found as I was doing a little bit of research for this is that some people think if you feel compersion, you don't love your partner enough. Somehow that because you're happy they're not there, or because you're happy that they're not with you, that you're showing that you don't really love them that much, and you're happier without them. Holy bullcrap. You know, compersion shows such a deep caring love for your partner because it involves wanting them to be happy, even if that happiness comes from a source outside of yourself, right? I think the lack of compersion and the selfishness that often comes with so many other relationships where you are only desiring them to get happiness through you, I think that shows a lack of love, right? Really, it's a lack of work within yourself. But, you know, for me personally, I want to show my love by allowing my partner to experience happiness from wherever they can find that source. And that's a hard thing to work on. You know, I've got my share of demons and those like to come up in my head and tell me, oh, here's bad thing one and bad thing two. You know, you don't want to let them do that. But I love my partner enough to say, no. I want them to be happy, and that there are things that I can't provide, and I want them to be able to get those elsewhere. One final myth is that compersion requires suppressing your own emotions. I could see where this comes from, right? The whole idea is you know, your partner is experiencing joy elsewhere. You start to feel jealousy or some other emotion, and you're supposed to just pack that crap away and never show it because you're supposed to be compersive. No. That's not healthy. It's not right. It's not how things should go. You should acknowledge those feelings, and even and very especially the negative ones, and then address them in a healthy way, right? Whether that's journaling it, bringing it up during your weekly check-ins, whatever makes sense, talk about what's going on and what you're feeling, because that way you're able to actually process through them and get to the other side, versus suppressing your emotions, which likely will lead to resentment later on, or, you know, any number of other negative things. That's just simply not healthy. So that's a whole lot of myths that come along with compersion. The question you probably have, though, is how the hell do I get there? So, you know, the biggest thing about compersion is really self-reflection. You've got to understand your own insecurities and your own triggers. They exist. They're real. They're absolutely valid. You know, these insecurities and triggers come from a life full of experiences, whether those be traumatic experiences or just normal life ups and downs. Those create a whole host of this baseline insecurities and triggers that you've got to learn how to process through, right? You should be doing this whether you want to be compersive and polyamorous or not. You should be working on how to process through those. As all of you know, I just completed an intensive outpatient program, And through that, I learned a substantial amount about how to process my own issues. And I've got a whole toolbox full of things that can help me if I get, you know, for some reason triggered for whatever. And I highly suggest everyone out there go find tools and put them in your toolbox for the day that you need them, right? Do this while you're able and you have capacity, because whenever you have something happen, you need to be able to just reach in a toolbox and grab a tool, because you don't have capacity to go find a tool, right? It needs to be right there with you. Anyways, there's an aside for the day. Another part of fostering compersion is open communication. And when I say open, I mean 100% totally open and honest. You need to be able to talk to your partners about your needs and your feelings, and you need to be able to lay it all out on the table so that each of you can make educated decisions about how you're going to navigate through your relationship together and the relationships with others. That way, your partner knows, hey, if I do this, it's going to upset him. But if I do that, I can get to the same place for myself, but I'm doing so in a way that is compassionate to my partner, right? You can, there's multiple ways to do anything. You know, perhaps you need to be notified that it's a date night instead of just finding out the night, but the day of. That's a courteous thing that could be worked on, right? I know I personally don't like surprises like that. So knowing with a little bit of advanced notice that, hey, you know, Friday night I'm going out with whoever. Cool. That lets me plan and lets me get my mind right and anything that I need to do, right? And that's a courtesy that can be done for me. And I try to do the same in reverse. So communication, open communication. Another way to do it is to really celebrate, like actively celebrate your partner's happiness. Really try to focus on the positive. I know this is one of those oldest tropes in the book where it's like, you know, just think positively, but there's something really, you know, true to it, where if you simply lean in and say, oh, hey, tell me how your night went. Oh gosh, that was so awesome. I'm so glad you got to see that movie. Was it good? Yeah, cool. I'm so happy for you, honey. You know, taking it on that way, you can actually feel, you know, the good energy flow through yourselves, that, you know, the good chemicals from your brain start flowing, dopamine and all of that, right? And that will then just encourage yourself, you know, you subconsciously, hey, leaning into the good thing was actually good last time. Let's focus on the positive again next time. And then the last part of that is really, you know, practice gratitude. Be thankful for your relationships that you have. Be thankful for what you get out of those relationships. And then really try to be thankful for the relationships that your partners have and what they get out of there, right? Practice that gratitude and think on the positive side about how wonderful your whole polycule is as a whole. And heck, if you've got a good meta, if you practice KTP, kitchen table poly, then, you know, your metamor, you could be thankful for them and practice gratitude about what you get out of your relationship with them. So just some tips, those kind of help you really just work on yourself, have open communication, and focus on the positive. So there are a lot of resources that are out there that help with managing jealousy or building compersion There's definitely tons of websites and books. A good website and book that exists is More Than Two. I definitely recommend checking them out. It's a good book. It's also got a great website. Then you've got the Jealousy Workbook is another site that has a bunch of exercises that can help you with jealousy. Everybody knows the good old Ethical Slut. That's the classic guide to poly or non-monogamy. And it's got some good stuff in there, and there's plenty of other books. So if none of those work for you, look for your local meetups, look for your some online forums that are out there. I'm in a handful of poly groups on Facebook that are wonderful for supporting each other. And I absolutely love just watching the conversations go. So there's a lot out there that's going to help you out if you need it. And of course, email me. I'll find other stuff for you if you need to. And that's pretty much it. Just remember, you know, compersion is a journey. It's not a skill. It's not this constant state that you're going to live in. It's really a lot of work and a journey through life. And hopefully you're able to, you know, live that journey and find the joy that comes from other people's joy, whether that's your partner or your family or whoever. Just be happy that people are happy. I know that I am happy. So that's what I've got for today. I'm out there on Instagram, imperfectlypoly. And if you want to, you know, shoot me an email, imperfectlypoly@gmail.com. I'm available however you can find me. That's it. I'm Chris, and I'm imperfectly poly. Take care.